Good. So we have been working on a series here, and I feel like I'm on the last one, but I have said that before and then go do another one. But I do think we're ending our series today on honoring others. And we've spoken a few times about specifically honoring parents, as Scripture says, honoring spouses, honoring those in authority, honoring those who serve the Lord. But specifically today, we're going to look at honoring the people around us, okay? We're going to look at honoring the people outside of our families, honoring the people outside of our church. So honoring the lost, if you will, honoring the unchurched. You can put whatever term you want, but honoring those that aren't the same as us. Okay, so we're going to go into that. I'm going to show you what Scripture has to say about it. And I believe God is about to do something great in our community. God wants to change and transform lives, and he's going to use you and I. So our key verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And as we've mentioned before, the term honor means to value or respect someone, treat them special as though they were nobility, and give them something that costs you. Those are all applied with that word honor. So honor and honoring those around us means we treat them special. We value, we respect them, and we're willing to give something that costs to those around us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we're told to honor all people. So we've done the specifics throughout the weeks. Now we've just expanded it to others, but specifically others who you know are not part of the church. Okay, that's what we're looking at. Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4. Let's go there. This is from the Passion Translation. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. It says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. But in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Okay, this is an example of being able to honor someone else, because if you are selfish, you will never honor others. You will only think of me. If you're able to put aside your own interests, then you're able to honor others. And this is the beginning of doing what God has asked us to do for others. You see, when we care more about the needs of the people around us than our own, we will make decisions that prove that. You see, it's easy to talk, but our actions actually prove if we actually care about them more than ourselves. Now I'm going to go into that in a little bit. Our vision here at the church is that we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. So our actions will prove if that's really what we believe. Are we here to help people find and follow Jesus? Or are we here for us? Are we here to make ourselves happy? Or are we really here to help people find and follow Jesus? Our actions will prove it. I'm going to go into that a little more too. But I want to give you some scripture, and I want to get into this quickly. You see, the followers of Christ showed honor and love to the unsaved around them and far beyond, because as a matter of fact, the disciples of Christ gave up everything for the lost. Read with me in Mark chapter 10 and 28 to 30. Mark chapter 10, 28 to 30. It says, then Peter began to speak up. He said, we've given up everything to follow you, he said. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake in the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. Now, I've read that because I want you to see that the disciples gave up everything for Christ and the good news, which was spreading the gospel to the lost. Did you catch that? They gave up everything for Christ and for spreading the good news, which meant they gave up everything for people who didn't yet know Christ. Think about that for a minute. Paul is a great example of showing honor and caring more about others than himself. Paul writes about some of the things he went through, some of the things he gave up for those who didn't yet know Christ. Because you see, Paul was one of the first disciples, apostles, if you will, who would reach out to people who knew nothing about the God of Israel. Initially, they were reaching out to the Jews who knew the one true God but didn't know the Savior. But now they would reach out to people who didn't even know the one true God. And Paul kind of led the way in that, obviously led by Christ to do it. But this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 33. And Paul says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. What? He was whipped 5 different times by the religious people. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced dangers from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then beside all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? And I was saying, he felt everything the churches were going through. If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I'm not lying. And once when I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guards at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. And he writes all this. Anybody want to guess where he wrote all this from? Prison. Paul was willing to give up everything that those outside of his group could find Christ. Everything. And he did give everything. You see, if we want to see results and many people come to Christ like the disciples did, we need to be ready to put others first, and it will cost us something. That is the definition of honoring others. And I know maybe you think, well, didn't he say we should love? If you can't even honor, you're not going to love. If you can't even make a choice to say, I'm going to put your needs first, don't tell me you love. You see, God told us that we should be willing to give up this life to gain the life that he chooses. Matthew 16, 21 to 25 says this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he'd be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You see, there is a lost and hurting world outside of your family, outside of our family, outside of these walls. And we are called to reach them. I have an article here and I want to read a couple quotes from it. The article is titled, Seven Things Christians Should Give Up to Reach Unchurched People. And I'm going to quote from it, so if you don't like it, get mad at the writer. You can Google it later. So you want your church to reach people who don't go to church. That's wonderful because that's basically the mission of the church. To share the love of Christ with the world in the hopes everyone will come into a relationship with Jesus. The challenge is that unchurched people aren't exactly flocking to most churches, and many Christians seem stumped as to why this is. There are many reasons, but a surprising number center around one thing. Christians who treat the church as if it's their private club. The gravitational pull of human nature is toward self, not toward others, and churches behave the same way. You will focus most exclusively on your needs and wants unless you decide not to. It is a decision. Because if you just go with the flow of what feels, you're going to look at self. That's our nature. You have to, on purpose, look further. He goes on in the article. I'm reading an article. This is not my words. So many church leaders, staff, and volunteers struggle to lead beyond the preferences of the church members. And as soon as they try, they get inundated with complaints and angry emails. Too many Christians feel like it's their right to have a church that caters exactly to their tastes and whims. And millions are paying the price for that, which includes the unsaved. When we choose to make church about us, we are automatically saying we don't care about them. You see, God has called us to something greater, and it's not a selfish call. So seven things Christians should give up to reach unchurched people. Seven things he says, and I'm not going to read his whole article, and I'm going to try really hard not to preach on his points because that's not the point of it. So keep these seven things in your head. Seven things Christians should give up to reach the unchurched. His number one thing, music. Are you just doing music that's your favorite music, or are you doing music that's going to reach the lost? Politics was his number two thing. Hey, if you become angry about politics and forceful, you guarantee that half the people in your sphere cannot connect with you. You know, because you're like, you're all idiots if you're not politically the same as me. If you do that, you have half the people now that you can't reach. Anyways, that's his point, not mine. I'll just leave it. Style. You might have to give up your style. I like it this way. I think our church building should always be like this. Or, you know, that was where I did Sunday school. How come they're changing the Sunday school room? What's wrong with these people? You may have to give up. Who changed this platform anyways? I liked the old one. Number four, buildings. Okay, we already kind of started on buildings. In his article, he actually says, maybe God's calling you to make an expansion on your building. Maybe God's calling you to move. Maybe God's calling you to give up your building. Christians get attached to buildings like it's a sacred thing, but our goal is to reach the lost. Number five thing he says that you need to give up to reach the lost is money. Don't worry, I'm not doing an offering. I'm just reading his point. And there's a whole bunch of things there. One thing that stuck out that I wanted to share with you because it was kind of cool, he said that sometimes an older church that has basically died and gone has a huge amount of money in their bank account. I don't know how that's possible, but he said there's some like that. And he said he's heard of these churches saying, you know what, we're going to give our building and the finance to a brand new church plant that's reaching people. And they've actually done that, and it's been a blessing, and now those churches are growing. Because here's the thing. If you're unable to listen to what God's telling you so that you can reach the people in your community, if you become self-focused, you will eventually die. You'll be playing a nice church game until you die. And God will say, okay, I want to reach the community, so I'm going to have somebody else start up a church that's willing to be a fool, that's willing to do what's needed to reach them. Because you see, the way we do it isn't Bible-based and, oh my goodness, lightning bolt's going to come down if you don't do church exactly the way my granddad did it. If that's your heart, you're missing the point of church. Church was never about us. We're the church, and we're called to go out and reach the lost. Yes, we can bring them here if we're with a mindset to reach them. Okay. I don't think that had anything to do with money. His sixth point, time. You're going to have to be willing to give up time if you want to reach the lost. Just coming to church on the weekend isn't probably going to help you reach the lost. I'm going to leave that alone. And his last point, which Scripture says in the verse we recently read, says very clearly, you may need to give up your life. You're like, well, maybe if God asked me to, I would. You know, maybe if I was at the same time where Paul was, I would have given up things like that. No, you wouldn't. You got angry at Tim Hortons when someone cut in front of you and you had to wait 10 seconds longer. You wouldn't give up your life. You got angry at the teller and went up one side and down the other because you didn't get the sale price. You wouldn't give up your life. You can't give up a comfort. If you can't lose out for the lost, you're definitely not going to give up your life for the lost. Do we care? Do we really care about those beyond our walls? Because you see, we, like the disciples, have been sent and commissioned. John 20, verse 19 to 21. And before I read it, I just feel God dropping something in my spirit that I need to speak before I read it, so I will. And it's this. Church, listen to me. If we want to reach the lost, we have to care what they're doing, we have to truly love them, and we have to be willing to change what we do whenever the Lord leads. You see, because what he told us in the season past was for that season, and it was 100% accurate, what's he telling us right now in this season, for this time? Are we willing to let go of what we did in the past? If you're not, you're going to miss out. Are you willing to raise up others to do what you do so that God can give you something else to do? I have found over the years that Christians get stuck so easily. Well, one time I had a prophecy that I was supposed to play the guitar. But that would be me, by the way. That did. I played the guitar and sang for years, and God said, I want you to do something else. I had to let go first of what I was doing before I could do something else. You see, this Christian walk is like a relay race. It's not a one-person show. It's a relay race. And there's a bunch of us on this relay team. Who here has ever ran a relay race? Maybe in school or anytime. You have the baton, and you got this section that you run, and then you pass the baton to somebody else, and they have their section. Well, there's a zone in there between the sections. There's a white line, and then a little further down, there's another white line. You have to pass the baton in that time frame. If you pass it well, your team wins. If you hold on to it and refuse to let go, your team is disqualified. Well, yeah, but I wasn't tired. I wanted to keep running. So? Well, yeah, but I'm just the second runner, and nobody's going to remember me. They're only going to see the guy that crosses the finish line. So I want to run right to the end.
Come on.
Really? And the team is disqualified. When you hand that baton, you help your team win the race, and there will be other races. It's not about me. Every single day, we need to be thinking, who can we raise in our spot? What is God asking us to do today? What is he asking us to do this week? What is the race he has for us now? Don't you dare let yourself get stuck. Don't disqualify your team. Race well. Race well. I remember running in a relay race. And I remember we practiced that relay race, and we practiced. And we were a little small school. I went to a Christian school in Rocky Mountain House, and it was actually the first track meet we were ever going to go to. We didn't have a track at our school. We had lots of grass area, and we would run around. You know, we didn't even know about staying in your lanes too much. Well, before the track meet, we had like one practice at the track at somebody else's school. So we knew you're supposed to stay in your lane. You know, you start here, you hand off in this zone. That was it. That's all we had. And I was in the number two position. I think that's where they put the guy with the shortest legs. I'm not sure, but anyways, that's where I was. And the guy on the number one position, they stagger them because we were on the inside lane, so he kind of starts last, and he's catching up to everybody. And he stayed last. He wasn't as fast as the other guys, and he's bringing that baton as fast as he can run. And I remember, okay, I got to take off before he gets here so he can hand the baton. And I took off, and he's coming. I'm like, hurry up. Anyways, I was into this race. He gave me the baton, and I took off as fast as I could go. It was like the race was everything. I passed all the other short-legged people in number two spot. And I came to where this person was who's going to take my baton. And I realized he wasn't starting to run. And I'm like, I am going to run him over. He has to start running in the zone. And as I'm running wide open, I see he's not starting to run. I'm like, run! And I shoved that baton in his hand, and I hollered one more time, like about this far from his ear, run! I think I scared him because he took off running, and he was ahead of everybody. I know we got a ribbon for that race. I don't think we came in first, but I remember the joy of playing as a team. The unbelievable joy of being able to encourage other people to take off where you ended. It is awesome. And it was not the last race I ever ran. When you're handing off, God's principles of giving and receiving are always in effect. Whatever you give away, he's going to pour more back in. God always, always has something good. I want to encourage you. Don't put the focus on me or you. Put it on Jesus Christ and the lost. If you choose that focus, you're going to be joyful. You are going to be saying, this is the most abundant life. Why would Paul live how he lived? Because when you live and it's not about you, oh my goodness, life is good. I can honestly say I love life, and I have always loved life. And I've always had opportunity to see people come to Christ. There's nothing greater. If you have not yet had the opportunity to play a role in someone coming to Christ, you need to. There is nothing like it. Knowing that someone will not spend eternity in hell because you played a little part. Because you got over your fear and you talked. Because you forgot about your issues. You forgot about what was bugging you and you cared about what they were going through. Do you hear me? Take your eyes off you and put it on others, and life changes dramatically. You wake up in the morning saying, okay, God, who are you going to put in my path? Who are you going to put in my path that I can touch? Jesus was our example of honoring and giving himself for unsaved people. In Romans 5, verse 6 and 8, the Passion Translation words it this way: for when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. If you're thinking, well, I'm going to be nice and reach out to those people that are out there when they change, you're missing the point. Well, yeah, but they got issues. They don't have God or Jesus on their side. Hey, you've got a couple issues and you got him. No, you reach out now in their mess. You reach out now with their attitude problems. That's how they're transformed. You know, it's interesting when I bring up the point of reaching out to the lost, and I've seen this over the years. I'll tell people and I'll challenge them, and you need to reach out to the lost. And many, many people will think of only one portion of the lost, and they'll be like, yeah, I know, I need to help the street people. You do. It's important. But did you know that the area that we represent is about 10,000 people? I want to be really, really generous and say 2,000 attend a church somewhere. That's overestimating, but I'll just be generous because it's easier to do the math. That leaves 8,000 people that do not know Christ in this community. 10 of those are street people. What about the 7,990 others? And yet I find sometimes we're like, well, yeah, but it's easier to be nice to the poor person, and people at work don't really know I'm a Christian, or, you know, I ream them out every time I go there. Hello? They're lost. They're just as lost as the street person. Probably more in some cases. Did you hear what I said? Probably more in some cases. Because they're trusting in their riches. Or they're trusting in their great job. Well, I got no problems. I don't need God. Are you willing to reach them? I know I'm putting a challenge out here, and I'm probably making some of you a little bit uncomfortable. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because I found out a long time ago, when God wants to move you forward, he's got to make you uncomfortable. Did you know that eagles have their babies in the nest? And when they make that nest, they put down and sticks and grass, and they make it as soft as can be. They lay their eggs, and the little babies, it's nice and soft. And then there comes a time where the mama eagle begins to pull out the feathers, throws them over the edge. The mama eagle begins to pull out the soft grass and throws it over the edge. And before long, those eaglets are sitting on sticks and pokies. And it gets uncomfortable. And guess what happens? A little bit further, and mama starts pushing them towards the edge. She knows they're ready and that they can't stay there in that comfortable spot forever, or they'll die. Did you hear me? If an eagle doesn't get out of that nest at some point, they will die. The mom isn't able to bring enough food to feed them. They're getting too big. They need to get out of that comfortable spot. And eventually, she will take her beak and push them over the edge. Ah! Yeah, I can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Don't be scared to reach out to those you work with, those you come in contact with. Honor them. Treat them with respect. Treat them like you care about them. I'm telling you this and I'm giving you this. I can't teach you how to love the lost. I can't give you enough Bible verses to say, care about them. You and I need to ask Christ to give us the passion that he had for the lost. If he gives us that passion, it will transform our communities. I can't ask you to just fake it. That would be ridiculous. You'd try it and quit. But I am going to challenge you to go to God and ask him to fill you with the same kind of passion he had. And I can guarantee you will not be the same person. To care more about them than yourself. Maybe some of you have seen on the news or social media a guy with long hair and his band down in the States traveling around having worship protests in different states. They had to call them protests or they would get put in jail and couldn't do them. Why would he do that? Because he wants to see people saved. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are coming to Christ. Because this crazy guy didn't care about himself and the fact that he's going to get called by the media a lunatic. Where others are going to try to blame him. Oh, you're getting people together. You're spreading things. He cared about the lost in those communities. And he said, I'm going to do this. I don't care. And it's going to cost me something. And trust me, it costs them something. How much do we care about the lost? Do we really care? Or are we just fine with the way it is? I'm pushing the buttons, I know. I'm pressuring you. When you go out of here, I want you to jump out of the nest. Whatever that comfort spot is, I want you to jump out and fly. And if I got to push a little harder till you don't like me, I'm okay with that. Because I care what happens. I want them to come in even if you don't like me. If one person gets saved, it's worth it. If one person gets saved, it's worth it.